I'm here with Art Dyson. Art is a Fresno architect, and he was on the City of Fresno's commission to look into homelessness and develop a 10-year plan to end homelessness. Art's developed a concept about eco-villages, which will house the homeless. And he set up a pilot project at Fresno State where the students have just recently built a few models. Art, let's start with your sharing with our listeners a little bit about your philosophy behind your architectural techniques.
Thanks, Mike. I'd be glad to. You said we've got 25 minutes. This will probably take 2 or 3 days, but let me see if I can capsulize this. My undergraduate work is in philosophy and psychology, so I see architecture, I think, differently than most architects. When one thinks of architecture, generally one thinks about buildings and walls, and architecture is generally defined as the art and science of designing and constructing buildings. But for me, architecture was never about buildings. It was about the individuals that would occupy them. It's not about building walls, but about removing walls or eliminating walls, both socially and metaphorically. So it's more about the exploration of human desires and attachments and of locating the strings that would lead back to one's heart. It's about joy and uplifting the human spirit. It's the discovery of similes and metaphors of life that fascinate me and I believe give meaning to architecture. It is this potential of improving the human condition that motivates me. Humans are fascinating and complicated beings, and it's my solemn belief that architecture can substantially and meaningfully improve the condition and uplift their spirits. So in a nutshell, that's what architecture is for me. I think that if you want to see a little bit more, you can always Google Arthur Dyson or Arthur Dyson Architect or hit arthurdyson.com and see a few more comments.
So given that, how did you end up on the City of Fresno's panel to end homelessness, and what was your experience like on that panel?
That was a committee that was formed by the City of Fresno and had a number of folks on it, and I was appointed by Councilwoman Cynthia Sterling, and she knew of my background working on homeless alternatives, alternative housing methods, and so she's the one that appointed me on that, and I headed the building environmental part of the task force.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with the outcome of that task force, what was the outcome? What did the group come up with, and how is that playing out today?
Well, it was interesting because it was defined as a 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness. So it's that adjective chronic that played a big role in here. So essentially what they did was identify 5 to 10% of the homeless population as those that they were going to try to address. Well, that leaves a huge amount, 90 to 95% of homeless folks that aren't under that umbrella. So it's those folks that we're looking at trying to help. So I think out of this, something is better than nothing, and I think what they're doing is helping some folks. There are a lot of different agencies out there. There are a lot of individuals. There are a lot of corporations out there that are doing good work to help the homeless. But still, there's probably 20,000 homeless folks that aren't being addressed. And so we're trying to fill that gap. We're trying to bridge between what exists and what could exist. So that's what kicked off the eco-village concept.
Well, good. Well, let's talk about that eco-village concept and tell us your vision about eco-villages. What are eco-villages, and what would that look like in Fresno?
It's really a whole different look at what exists. And so what you have to do is look at what brought folks to that situation that they're in. What's going to help them out? Who are we going to help? We know that maybe of the 20 to 25,000 folks, there are 6 to 7 to 8,000 unaccompanied homeless children on the streets. Statistics tell us that 1 in 5 homeless girls are pregnant. I mean, that's a huge amount. And there's no one single agency that can help all of those. And we live in a different, we live in a fascinating world, a world of communication where we know what happens at any moment, any place on earth. With communications that we have. And so we have to digest this information as human beings very fast. And for instance, if I ask you what a tree is, you're going to tell me it has a brown trunk and a round green top. Well, when you study it, we know that that's not entirely true, that there are different shapes, that the greens actually come out to be blues and ochres and siennas and a whole range of colors. So we do that with folks too. We do that with the homeless community. I've heard homeless folks described as nothing but alcoholics and drug addicts. And admittedly, there are alcoholics and drug addicts, just like there are in the legal profession or the medical profession or the architectural profession. And admittedly, there are probably a higher percentage in the homeless arena. But also, at the same time, you have children, you have families, you have folks that were contributing members of our community last month that are now unemployed. Either the business owner went bankrupt, they went out of business, for whatever reason. So you have a changing demographic right now. And so what we want to try to do with the Eco Villages, and the Eco Village was a program that is a university program that's cross-disciplinary. And so it was a three-part program that we're looking at. And the first part, the first semester, would be using the colleges of sociology, psychology, urban anthropology, economics, and biology to help make an informed decision on the demographics, on the different conditions that brought folks there, the conditions that would help folks back into a meaningful life and to find their life and their desires that they have. The second part of that would be designing the village itself, and the third part would actually be to construct the village. So it's a 2 or 3 semester program. That we're going to do. We're looking at doing it with University of Pacific and Fresno State University. But it's a holistic look at the conditions. So you look at some of the conditions that exist, and you look at some of the opposition that you have to doing anything for homeless folks. A lot of the community don't want to see homeless folks. They don't want to see encampments. And so one of the things we were looking at is the encampments themselves in replacing an encampment. So take a group of folks that already have learned how to live together, in effect have developed a charter of their own on how to run an encampment, and take those folks and put them in a holistic setting that would address many issues. It would be self-sustaining. It would be using recycled materials. It would be a setting in as beautiful type of an environment as possible. So that when folks drove by, it would look like a park-like setting. It would be off the grid. We'd use rainwater harvesting, photovoltaic cells for electricity, geothermal heating and cooling to condition these spaces. We would use all of these different technologies that we have, old technologies, new technologies, solar chimneys, solar attics, wind cooling towers. They would grow their own food. They would have a common restroom, laundry room. And then a huge part of this in each one of these villages would be the economic driver. And that would be a building that would possibly be made out of straw bale, possibly be made out of used tires. And that component would be a venue for the folks that live in that community. So if you have a series of artists, you might have potter's wheels and people might do pottery work. They might teach pottery classes to folks. And then they'd have a venue to sell their pottery in there. If they could say they have woodworking skills, they might take discarded furniture and recycle it, refinish it, reupholster it, and put it back on the market and sell it there. They might teach other folks how to do upholstery, how to refinish wood. Might have an area where people know how to cook and use herbs and dry herbs and produce herbs, and they'll teach other folks. So it's – and then after somebody is in here, and this is not intended as a permanent home, it's intended as a way to get folks back into the job market. They'd have a legal environment. They'd have the legal right to live there. They'd have a safe environment to live in, and they'd have an opportunity to develop the talents that they have and develop a job employment resume that they could hand over to other folks.
I want to remind our listeners, we're listening to local architect Art Dyson talk about his concept of eco-villages, which he is currently in the process of setting up a model community. Art, I've heard you talk about eco-villages before and comparing them to what exists and the harsh realities and the loud sounds that homeless people endure as a part of their life right now. Tell us a little bit about how a person's environment and where they live affects them as human beings.
Good question. There's a study of neurosciences that has come to the forefront in the last few years, and it has substantiated information that we have known anecdotally over the years. We know that when you're in a natural environment, the human condition improves. Studies now have verified that. It has shown us that in a hospital setting, for instance, if one has a window and looks out on a natural landscape, they use less medication. They recover faster. Their spirits are higher. Everything is elevated in that situation. We know from studies that when you have the look of a natural environment, as opposed to what most homeless folks are in right now, next to a railroad track, in a paved area, in a very hardscape, without any of the songs of nature that have soothed human beings for eons, without that, aggression and violence increases. But with a natural landscape, with the songs of nature, and by the songs of nature I mean the wind and the trees and the birds singing and all of those things, aggression and violence decreases. So everything that we do is affected by the environment that we're in. So it is either a draining environment or it's an uplifting environment. That's what excites me, trying to put folks in an uplifting environment. And so my, as an architect, where my heart is in trying to uplift the human spirit. So I'm trying to do more than just provide shelter from the elements, but to embrace the elements and provide a shelter for the human spirit, something that will uplift the soul of a human being. So that's where my interest is.
And where are we with this right now? I know the eco-villages, these new constructions that there have been students at Fresno State that have been working on that. This has been in the news. The Fresno Bee ran a story about it a couple of weeks ago. And there was a class of students who actually built some of these model eco-villages, and they were on display. They are on display out at Fresno State right now. Tell us where we're at with this project and, you know, when we might see the first model in the community. And tell us some of the challenges that you're experiencing in getting this going.
The class that we just finished at Fresno State had 60 students in it, 61 actually. And it's interesting because it was the first time the two colleges collaborated on the campus. So what we did was bring together design students and engineering students. Well, there's often a disconnect between academia and practicing the professional community. And so construction students often don't know anything about design. They're not exposed to it. Design students don't know anything about construction. So we put teams of design students from the School of Arts and Humanities together with construction management students from the School of Engineering. And so the first time they learned to work together. And so what they're doing is developing prototypes. So they actually have four structures on campus as prototypes. Three of them are living units. The fourth one is a sanitary unit. So it's a toilet room with a shower. And so when you see homelessness is an interesting thing because, Mike, you and I can be homeless tomorrow. I mean, if an earthquake hit here and it hit hard enough, we could all be homeless. And so it could affect any of us at any given moment. We see this around the world. We see this with typhoons, with hurricanes, with tornadoes, earthquakes, all of these things. And the number one thing that they really suffer from most, other than lack of food and water, is sanitary facilities. That's probably the number one thing and one of the hardest things. And that's one of the most difficult things for homeless folks to deal with, too. So with solar water heating and a lot of the things that we know, well, we can provide something if we have some prototype shelters that we could put up almost overnight. And so our idea is to try to develop a prototype that could be applicable almost any place. And the other thing that's really exciting to me is that this could be a model for the world, but we're doing it in Fresno first. So we're helping our neighbors first. Now, when I say we, the Eco Village and the class was both instructed and informed by members of the homeless community. So these structures that the students built were being built alongside of the homeless community. When we build the Eco Village, they will be built by members of the homeless community.
And when these Eco Villages are set up, are we looking at putting them all in one place, like in the old industrial section south of downtown Fresno, or will they be like at the fairgrounds? Will there be hundreds of people living in close proximity, or is the idea to have these spread out around the community?
Well, that's another excellent question. And you know, that's a difficult dilemma. What you don't want to do is build concentration camps. And so the reason that we wanted to involve the schools of anthropology, sociology, and sociology is to determine how many folks you can comfortably put together. When you're throwing folks together, you know, it's hard enough when you get a whole family together in a family reunion. When you get unrelated people together, you know, you don't want to create a situation that's worse than what exists right now. So we need to look at those things. Those things will help inform where we go from now. But what we're looking at right now is initially, and so we're looking at trying to work with small groups. So we're looking at the first Eco Village has anywhere from 12 to 18 folks in it because we're taking an existing encampment where folks already have learned to live together. They have a certain code. They don't allow drugs in the area. They have, you know, certain things that they want to live by, and they don't want others to come in and disrupt that organization. So on the location, we would think that we would want to take the existing encampments and build something that's legal and beautiful in that same area, not on the same site, but within the same proximity. Neighbors know that they're already there, so you're not bringing new people in. You're going to improve what exists. The folks that live there know the transportation systems. They know a little bit about it. So that's the first step, but these are small steps. They're baby steps, but it is a step.
You know, one of the problems that has come up time and again in establishing semi-permanent homeless encampments or campgrounds where homeless people can live safely and have some facilities has been NIMBYism, not in my backyard thinking. And I know that happened in an area south of downtown Fresno where the city bought a lot and they were going to put an encampment or a campground there. The business owners in that area came together and opposed it. There was another proposal up on Van Ness, just south of Belmont, a vacant lot of land that another architect had proposed a homeless apartment type, not exactly an eco-village, but something nice and that it would be a concentration of maybe 20 or 30 homeless people. And the neighbors, again, came together to oppose that. What thoughts do you have about what would you say to neighbors about an encampment that might be in their neighborhood?
Well, I'd have the same concern. I wouldn't want one of the encampments across the street from me. And that's why we're looking at alternatives. We want to show what can be done. We want to show how beautiful an area can be. We want to show how vibrant these people can. We want to be a catalyst for change, but change in a positive way. We want to show a new direction. And, of course, we see this all the time. Einstein said, talked about not being able to solve the same problems using the same kind of thinking that created them. We don't want to do that. We want to look for new alternatives. And so we want to create something that everybody would be proud of, that would be uplifting for everybody. And if we can put some of these up in areas close to the existing encampments for others to see as a model and as an example of what can be done, then I think it'd be much more palatable to folks.
Great. Art, I'm afraid we're running out of time here. Can you talk a little bit about how listeners can help and become involved in this eco-village concept?
Well, I think everybody has to find their own way. And as somebody said, that nobody can do everything, but everyone can do something. And I think that that's the way we need to look at it. I think that, Mike, you've been at the forefront of this for years, and you carry a huge amount of respect in the homeless community. And I would suggest that anybody that wants to help in any way that they can, and everybody can help in some way, one way or another, to contact you directly, maybe through the radio station here.
Thank you for that, Art. I want to remind our listeners, we've been listening to Art Dyson talking about the concept of eco-villages, and this is a new project that's just getting off the ground. Art, do you have any final words?
Maybe I can quote John Wooden, UCLA coach that grew up in that backyard. He said, don't let what you can't do interfere with what you can do.
Very good. Nice note to end that on. Thank you, Art.